This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and you can join myself and Doug Norrie right now as we talk all of the action from the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors game. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Okay, we got a good episode coming up for you. Obviously, the Brooklyn Nets fall to the Toronto Raptors, but as we've said before, it's about more than just the games that they're playing right now. We talk about the early start and how the Nets seem to come out with a lot of firepower and energy, and unfortunately, maybe just ran into a team in Toronto Raptors that got back all their guys nice and healthy and are having a little bit of a late season run in them, as if you've been familiar with that team, you would expect them to. So we talk about that. We talk about rotations. We talk about game flow and ultimately how the Nets continue to have the ability to stay the course. And some nights the shots don't fall. That's not a bad thing. It's all coming up in a jam-packed episode. But first, as always, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR.com. You know the drill. Got you covered for all of your DFS needs, FanDuel and DraftKings NBA, MLB too if you're interested in baseball. And that is Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on SportsCaster. SportsCaster, our wife's last name. SportsCaster, there you go. Also the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York football Giants. Buddy, how are we doing following a loss to the Toronto Raptors?
I gotta be honest. I had something that I was gonna do for my introduction, and it completely slipped out of my mind. So I'm good. I guess maybe a little bit disheveled and obviously disappointed as the Nets. That's what it was, man. I was gonna say, in spite of your conspiracy theories off of last episode, there's no way that the Nets are trying to sneak their way into getting guys rest, because in spite of the loss, they still had all the players out there on the floor, including Kyrie Irving. So put that tinfoil hat of yours back into the drawer, because you were really close to being off the rails last time.
Yeah, I don't think it works like that. The Nets.
No reason to check the tape on that, by the way.
Yeah, we'll have to look. The Nets lose to the Raptors. They're on the second half of a back-to-back. You could probably drum this up at like something like a schedule loss. A couple of mitigating factors that went into this game. One, obviously, Nets played against the Pelicans on Tuesday night and had a nice little win. We were sort of gushing about their play in that game, sort of the cohesiveness, what we saw in terms of players stepping up without Durant, without Harden, knowing that they were going to have to run a lot of minutes. And then obviously on a back-to-back, you are going to run in the issue of, well, all of those minutes still came last night, and you now have to play another game against a Toronto Raptor team, which has been all over the place in terms of injuries, and then just chose this game to bring everyone back, right? Like, this was the game.
Yeah.
These guys have not played together in weeks. Basically, guys in and out of the lineup, they've been playing skeleton crews for forever now for a variety of reasons. And then the Raptors come out with Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, OG plays, Pascal Siakam plays. So the whole band gets back together just in time to catch the Nets on the second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, it's the perfect timing that you want for this when and with the Nets on their, you said, on their back-to-back. So we're going to get into this game here, but you saw the impact of it. In spite of not having some of our key players, the start of this game still looked like the Nets were going to carry over that rhythm, and then it was kind of the knocking off of the rust for some of these Toronto Raptors. About time we get into the second half and some key sequences, a little bit of ebbs and flows here, but ultimately it just looked like the legs just got out from underneath them here, and they were getting a little punch drunk by the time this thing wraps up.
Yeah, so we'll go through the whole game, what we saw. I will say, just from a high level, I didn't think the parts where we were really complimentary of these, to some degree, secondary pieces, although some of these guys are going to factor in pretty heavily into the playoff run, where we were really complimentary of them yesterday against, and we're recording, when I say yesterday, a lot of people are going to listen to this on Thursday. We're recording this right after the game, and we're live in locker room now as well. But the The parts that we were complimentary around the Nets against the Pelicans, I actually thought those were pretty much on display here in this Toronto game as well. It just didn't really work in the end. I didn't think their play was subpar, really. I don't know if it was just all tiredness or, you know, all fatigue, and that was what it all comes down to. But just from a whistle to whistle, beginning of game to the end, I didn't think that their flow and the style of their game was really different than what got them the win against the Pelicans, except for just a few things didn't go their way. Did you have that general sense? Like I said, we'll talk about the specifics of the game here in a second, but I mean, do you agree with that sentiment that I know that on paper the loss looks different than the win, and that can sometimes sway how we feel about an overall just performance from a team. But I kind of just felt like it was still – I felt like they did almost all the same things that they did against the Pelicans. They just didn't – a few shots didn't go down here, and they might have been a little bit tired.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you on that, because you think about – you mentioned, you know, the starting lineup with Griffin getting inserted there, Green, Harris, Irving, and Shamet. But then you have the bench with Alize Johnson, Brown, Jordan, and TLC. You look over the stat lines, some more shots could have fallen here or there. But I think – probably as big a factor as anything is you're limited with the in-game adjustments and the matchup adjustments that you can make when you're limited with the roster you're running out there right now. So, you know, unfortunately, as this game starts to flow, even if you say legs, fatigue, that's going to be a factor, obviously. But then the layer deeper is how do you try to pivot? How do you try to switch? How do you try to generate better looks maybe in the third and fourth quarter to match what Nick Nurse is doing, who's probably having a field day on his side of things, getting to have that full complement of pieces for himself? So to your point, I think as much as anything, it was just some of the shots didn't go down. Some of the things that work usually most nights for Brooklyn didn't work tonight as effectively. And that's how you lose to, in spite of the record, still a quality team in the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I thought the Raptors looked a little out of sorts to begin with. I think that was to be expected based on the amount of time that they had spent not playing together this season, especially in the short term. They've been, like I said, I really can't understate how long it's been since this team has been fully healthy. They've been playing crazy lineups where, like, Paul Watson and Malachi Flynn were getting starts and stuff. Like, this has been a really just up and down, mostly down season for the Raptors, and I thought that looked like that early. You mentioned the starting lineup. They're still without all these key players. This is the Nets I'm talking about now. We knew the bench was going to be thin. They did put Blake into the starting lineup over DeAndre because they weren't going to have to contend with any Raptors real size. They start Ken Birch at the five. They've moved away from the Boucher, Aaron Baines stuff that doesn't really seem to be working with the starting lineup. So you're not too worried about having to play DeAndre early on against a big center, because that's not what Birch is going to be. And we did see, you know, when it's all said and done, some of the shot dispersion that we saw from a little bit similar to the Pelicans game. Kyrie takes a few more shots in this game. Shamet takes a lot of shots. Unfortunately, if we're looking at, you know, whose shots probably end up costing the game, it probably is Shamet's 3-for-17 that ends up being not the whole story, but at least part of it. But and I think you're totally right. When you're looking at this game, you have to say, at what point do you have to say, like, look, there's nothing to be done. They have nine guys that can play. And Reggie Perry, I guess, was available. Reggie Perry was available to play, but he didn't. So that means he probably wasn't. They probably dressed him in name only, because if you were going to try to rest guys, especially a big or two, because like with Blake and DeAndre, this would have been the time to play Reggie Perry. So while he was active for the game, he clearly wasn't really active, or else he probably would have played, right? So at that point, they basically are just running, nine guys out there, and there are no adjustments to be made.
And I will just sidebar on it too. Well, because first of all, I think they said it on, I listened to a little bit of the Chris Carino radio broadcast tonight too, because I just enjoy checking in with that side of the broadcast as well. But, you know, Claxton theoretically would have also been available. If Perry's available, then Claxton's available. And it may have just been that splitting hairs of, like you said, get your warm-ups on, Perry. You're not going to do anything, but you're technically on the table for us, and you probably want to safeguard against even having the possibility of Claxton being out there for you. There's a quick sidebar before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of this game. From a Raptors standpoint, I'll go back to this. We talked a little bit about the Eastern Conference, the playing games and stuff. You want to talk about a team you don't want to see if you're the one seed, and, you know, Toronto Raptors play their way into that eighth seed. 76ers aren't going to want to play the Toronto Raptors, even just from the standpoint of getting run ragged for a couple more games than you would normally anticipate. And I don't think there's a lot of teams at the bottom of the East that you would really have any concerns about. And even if Toronto can't beat anyone at the top there, they're still going to be a problem for you. So keeping an eye on what Toronto does down the stretch here is going to be interesting, because I think they've now won 7 of their last 11 games, if I'm not mistaken. So as bad as the record may look on paper, if they can get themselves there, they have the right kind of components to be a real problem for a lot of teams.
Yeah, and right now they're technically, this is the Raptors, they're technically not in the play-in game yet, but you have to think that they're probably have at a minimum have a good chance of catching the Hornets, who are just playing without LaMelo. They're playing without Gordon Hayward too, so they're going to check them anyway. So yeah, I agree with you.
And they just leapfrogged the Bulls tonight as well, who lost.
Right, and we've been saying this about how the seeding and whether these wins are going to matter or not. It's kind of just hard to tell, because if it's a situation with the Nets where you get to play the Raptors in the first round, you're like, oh, we wish we'd have fallen to the 3 seed at that point, right?
Right.
maybe you get to play the Knicks or something like that. Like, this is what I mean about where the seeding is just going to get all fugazi, because it's just, it's going to kind of matter, but because the season's all in turmoil, then you're just not really going to know. You're really just not going to know if it's going to be worth it or not. All right, I want to talk about this game. I thought it was interesting early. Like I said, I was still really encouraged by what we saw from a couple key components. If the results weren't totally there, I think that's okay in the grand scheme of things. I still think there was a lot of a good to take away from this game. First, going to talk to you about Theragun. Right now, it can be just super hard to relax. It can be super hard to feel like you're getting in shape. Sometimes your body's not feeling 100%. The stress of daily life just kind of just weighs on you, and you can sort of feel it physically. I know that feeling for sure, where it's hard to pinpoint, but you just know physically you're feeling sort of maybe out of sorts. This is where Theragun can really come in and help. It's a handheld percussive therapy device. It releases deep muscle tension. The way you feel before this and after is just unbelievable. You won't even believe the difference that you get after you use Theragun. It uses a calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And it's quiet as an electric toothbrush. So you can use it without being really just too disturbing and know you're going to get that stress relief that you really need. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension. And it uses the signature percussive therapy, which goes 60%. We love numbers. 60% deeper than vibration alone. Right now, Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and many more, plus all the customers, yourself included. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/LockedOn, just like our podcast network, and you're going to get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/LockedOn, Theragun.com/LockedOn.
You know where else you may be feeling some tension? It could be around the upcoming NFL draft and what your team is going to do. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. You can get the insights and the analysis from the Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts by subscribing to the Locked On NFL on YouTube, the page over there, obviously. And then you can also watch that live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft April 29th through May 1st. So as we get back into it here, quick shout out to the guys over on Locker Room. The injury chatter is still alive and well for Brooklyn, so I'm sure we're going to get into that on the back end of this episode. But then from the game standpoint, I mean, the Nets came out, and this is why I think we say at the top there, leaning into the idea of the legs leaving them at some point in this one, the Nets put up 36 points in the first quarter. I mean, it was all happening for them on the offensive end, just like we've seen it happening these last few games. Did you see any adjustments there early after, Joe Harris goes 4-for-4 from beyond the arc to start, and then he really not cools off, but he just gets taken out of the action a little bit and it starts to put more pressure on some of the other offensive weapons?
I think it was a combination. Nets came out probably with just the adrenaline pumping, and that was when that wore off, that was kind of the end of it. But the beginning part looked like just really good Nets basketball. The spacing was excellent. The ability for Kyrie to drive and kick was there. Blake, I still don't know what to make of Blake, and maybe this is not for this podcast, because I think that there's some things he does really well. There's some things that I think that don't necessarily help the Nets offense, but I don't think this is like a longer talking point as we get to see where he ends up ultimately fitting. I don't really want to go nuts about certain players' performances when I'm not sure how much they're really going to factor in, but But anyway, early on, it's looking okay with him. Although I will say his style doesn't really – I'm not sure it complements a lot of what else is happening here. But early on, like you said, Harris knocking down threes. The spacing was excellent. They were really taking advantage, I thought, of the fact that Toronto looks completely discombobulated early. They just – it was clear they just hadn't played together in a long time. And they're not really a fluid team to begin with. They're very good and long defensively, especially on the wings, and that's going to cause you problems. It really caused the Nets problems later in the game. But early on – it was clear, it was just one of those, oh, right, we just really haven't played together that often. And sometimes it's even hard to see that stuff happening in real time. And even in this case, I think you could just see it in real time because your eyes aren't matching up with how good guys like Siakam, FVV are, Lowry, obviously, and the fact that it looks so just out of sorts. It eventually corrected itself, but that I felt was like the story of this first quarter was Nets were carrying over a lot of what worked from the Pelicans game in terms of just sort of knowing where they were supposed to be in the court. There was a couple awesome just like sort of move into empty spaces where they're anticipating passes early on. Like Kyrie had one of these to Joe Harris around the top of the key. And so that stuff's all working, and it stands in conjunction to or in comparison to where Toronto just had none of that working. And I think that is why you saw them jump out to such an early lead, and then obviously it kind of just completely flips after that.
When you think about then, because I feel like the legs, the tiredness is the theme of it, the adrenaline they start out with on Brooklyn's side of it. Would you have adjusted anything? I guess I don't want to over tap into that Blake Griffin piece, but because what I do like that he does offensively, especially when you think about, you know, setting screens, high pick and rolls, I think that he's very effective when you use him in those areas. But it's come off the heels of a good game. Would you have rather, if you're going small anyway, I mean, what does DeAndre Jordan do for you to start this game as opposed to Griffin? And maybe it balances things out a little bit better for him. I mean, Griffin only plays 19 minutes and Jordan ends up going almost 30. The start was so effective, but would you have done anything different with the limited roster you had available? Would you have put out a different lineup to start here? Would maybe Bruce Brown have made more sense? Because the one thing that I heard in the postgame coverage, too, was as far as Shamit goes, talking about how, remember, now this is a guy that's ratcheting up, taking on a bigger role. The expectations are getting bigger, and he's having a lot of success. But also, this is just like guys coming back from injury. He hasn't been seeing these minute shares with consistency like this. He played 36 minutes tonight. Maybe, and this all feels like, you know, rear-view driving, Could you have had him come off the bench in this one and try to maintain his hot hand in a smaller sample size and then look to utilize Bruce Brown for all those little things that he's done for you along the way, specifically on the glass, had 14 rebounds again tonight?
Now, I can't really kill the personnel decisions really in the end. That's why I said I should have probably even brought up the Blake thing, because again, you were correct in saying, what else are you going to do here? It's not like you have a 15-man roster that you can just pick and choose your spots where you have, you know, three superstars and then you just kind of have role players after. This is not – I mean, we're in almost total skeleton crew style here, especially – well, I was going to say especially on the guards, but then I'm realizing there's no bigs either. They don't have anybody. They just don't have – there's no bigs. Or
at every position on the roster.
Well, it's like, well, they don't have any ball handlers and they don't have any bigs. So, okay, what's left? They have some wings and that's kind of it. So this is where you have to stop yourself from being overly critical of what's happening. I will say the one thing about Blake, just to maybe cap this point and then we can move on, is that sort of stylistically the roll to the rim stuff isn't really something that seems like it's coming first nature to him all the time. The sort of insistence on getting into the low blocks, even when he's not really able to take totally control of those matchups, sort of makes it a weird situation, because while posting up is good when you're a certain player, almost anyone else posting up means that you're sort of, how can I explain this? When you're posting up, you're sort of forced to give the ball to the guy who's posting up, whether it's a good idea or not. Because nothing else can kind of happen until you either reconcile what's happening in the post. Does that make sense? I'm getting very in the weeds here, but like,
the reality of you're limited when someone posts up. So to your point, when somebody posts up, you got a clock now ticking. He's in the paint. Either you got to give it to him or he's got to clear out of there. It's one or the other, and that decision has to come almost immediately. And once he establishes his position.
And even if the clock's not ticking, you kind of just have to give him the ball anyway. And he doesn't necessarily need to take the shot, but you need to just, You either need to give him the ball on the post so he can work a one-on-one into the paint, or you need to give him the ball on the post so you can move out all the action around him and then pass it back out and hope that he clears the post. Like, it's just, this is why, this
right.
why
he's post. Done the work, so you have to utilize it, right?
But oftentimes it's incorrect, is my point. Like, it's just,
yes,
like,
yeah, no. So, to, like you said, now, so, and sorry, not to jump in on you, but Blake Griffin establishes himself in the low block, and you're saying, hey, he's established himself. You got to kick it into him and then build off of it. That may have been the first wrong step that you took, though, Blake, in establishing yourself in the low post, because now that's what we're going to run this set through, as opposed to whatever right. the other version may be, clearing out and allowing space and allowing Kyrie to dictate what the offensive set looks like. You're now inserting yourself, and as far as a hierarchy goes, Blake, you should not be that high up as far as who's dictating style, tempo, and what we're going to do on the offensive end.
Exactly. And maybe it's just, maybe I'm overthinking the situation, but I really don't. I really don't think this is why you see teams play too much in the post anymore, because unless you have a player that can completely dominate it, like a Joel Embiid, maybe at times Anthony Davis, there's no point in doing it, because you have to, because then it just dictates everything else you have to do, whether it's correct or not. So anyway, point being, that's where I saw some clunkiness around the offense when it came to that with Blake. That being said, that is kind of a nitpick, because I did think, again, very early on, and really even till late, I thought that the Nets really didn't do anything differently than they had been doing in terms of what mostly works, which is the spacing and open threes. It's just that late game, it just it kind of just ended up shutting down late game. We're going to talk about how this game ends up sort of closing out, how the Nets had a couple chances, I think, to get themselves back into it and just simply couldn't. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Fastest and easiest way to get your action in, any type of betting that you want. You have to do it over there at Bet Online. NBA every single night. The craziness with these injuries, folks. You never seen lines swing so much on a game to game, sort of day to day basis, just within the same game with these injury news. You can really take advantage of that kind of stuff over at Bet Online. Maybe it's not sports. Maybe you just want to get into award shows, reality TV. They got you covered there as well. All in real time, updated odds and props on anything you can imagine. Plus news and scores too, so it's kind of just a one-stop shop for everything you need when it comes to betting. You can go over to Bet Online. You sign up for a free account, but you're going to want to make a deposit. When you do, make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus. It's 50% just on that first deposit. Can't beat that. Head on over to Bet Online right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And also, something that you might not ever want to do, but you just have to do, buying car and auto parts. It can be a minefield, folks, especially if you're going to the local place. Like I said before, I've been there many times. You need a part. It's super specific to your car. They type it into some age-old, decades-old computer that no one even uses anymore at this car parts place. They disappear into the back. You don't even know what they're getting. The unmarked box comes back, and you just hope and pray it's the right part. Avoid all this. Go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years. It's a family-owned business. Their website is so easy to use. Drop-down menus for your make and model of your car will show you the exact part you need, the exact price you're going to get, and it's going to be 30 to 50% better than any of those local places. It's the number one place to trust for auto parts. I've used it many times. Can say that very honestly. Rock Auto is just so easy to use. Used it for both my cars. Both times we needed stuff, and it's been the easiest experience ever. And they don't ask much for you. All you have to do when you go to rockauto.com, when they say, how did you hear about us? You write Locked On into that little box. Locked On, just like our podcast network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by the Locked On Network and the Odyssey app, is happening right now. Featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every single team are making trades and picking the next stars for all of your favorite teams. You can search for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-E. Say it with me, friends. It spells Odyssey. Now, You mentioned that things, and this is even further into the fourth quarter when the Nets are actually still kind of hanging around this thing and maybe have a chance to get back into it. There was a point in the third quarter when it got to 90-72 Raptors, and you and I were kind of texting back and forth a little bit and just saying, you know, this one's kind of fizzling out here. And then when the third quarter starts to go to, I think at the conclusion of the third quarter, 92-81. The sheer fact that we're talking about, I think this speaks to what you've been saying here throughout the podcast, that nothing looked different to you. Some shots just didn't fall. And I think that's the proof right there, that you're able to come back in this game because the consistency you've been playing with does pay off. Now, did you dig yourself a little bit of a too big of a hole at a certain point? Certainly. But you were able to find yourself back within 11 to close out the third quarter. And then I think back within, it was down to 5 in the fourth there. So it was working. I think the only thing that held them back was the fact that Shamet struggled, and it's not even a knock on him. He struggles from the field. He struggles from three. And because the Raptors were leaning heavily into working the switches, trying to take away Joe Harris on the offensive end of the floor, without Shamet knocking down a couple of those looks, it never provided the opportunity to balance out the spacing again on the offensive end and then start to get Harris involved and continue to open things up potentially for Kyrie Irving, who had a pretty darn good night for himself. You know, you mentioned 21 shots this evening, but that goes 19, 19, and 21 the past three games. And he's giving you 9, 8, and 8 assists. And that's no small feat, again, when you're playing with a relatively thin supporting cast.
Yeah, for sure. I think we agree. Their style just never really changed in this game. There was a stretch that Toronto simply couldn't miss in the third quarter where they blitzed them on basically just pull-up threes. That just everything went down. Anything they threw up, and most of them were easy looks. I can't even really say that that it wasn't – they were just throwing up these miracle shots. They just were getting really good looks, pulling up for transition threes. Anything and everything for them in the third quarter fell. And – You make a really good point that when they're down 18 is almost whenever most teams would start throwing in the towel. It's at the back-to-back. You're really tired. It doesn't look like Toronto's ever going to miss again for the rest of their lives. And all of a sudden, you know, what's the point, right? And so, but the fact that the Nets, and again, I know I just keep hammering this point, but it's so important. Because they know what the identity of the team is, and that identity is around spacing and open threes whenever you can get them, and you know, working Kyrie one-on-one into the lane and just having him sort of just, you know, open up his bag. When that's the style, you can just keep playing that style, and that style can actually get you back into games when things start going right, because you're going to take high volume threes, yeah. And you're going to keep your foot on the gas when it comes to the offense. And they basically did that. They cut it to 6 once and 5 again in the fourth quarter. And I was pretty convinced, because when we have a really good track record of making some bold proclamation to ourselves through text at some point during the game and then having the exact opposite happen. And we're pretty good about this, frankly, because we're talking about what time we're going to do locker room, and we're texting about how this game's over and what, you know, all this other stuff. And basically from that moment on is when the Nets went on the run and pulled all the way back into the game. And I was thinking, man, if this thing goes to overtime, we can take 100% full credit for this, because it was just our negativity that pulled them back in. But stylistically, when it's all basically the same, this style, when you have guys like, and I know he couldn't hit anything, but when you have Shamet, when you have Joe Harris, when you have Kyrie, and at the head of it, obviously, and you have guys like Bruce Brown that still just get every single hustle, should get every hustle award that the NBA can give out. I don't think that award exists, but if it does, then Bruce Brown should win it. But when you have these guys, like we saw, they were within 5, and you're thinking, and there's like 3 sequences where I thought, oh, they just made that. I think this is a game where they get the win, mm-hmm. right? It was like 3 or 4 different times, and it just didn't happen. And I think that in the end, that was fatigue. But it really, again, I'm mostly being complimentary, because stylistically, it was just the same team that we saw beat the Pelicans the day before.
Yeah, one compliment that was paid to Blake Griffin, and not to clean it up, I don't feel like we're over beating up on him, but was his willingness to take charges since coming over to the Nets. And in tonight's game, you saw Bruce Brown take one, you saw Shamet take a big one against Lowry as well late in this one. So there's still all those sequences that you like to see, and it's the how to say, you know, conviction that this team has around the idea that, listen, whether or not things are going perfectly throughout it, whether or not we're without two of our superstars, even right now, I mean, what's the national chat around the Brooklyn Nets? How many superstars will it take for the Nets to still be able to win a championship? Or can they do it with two? Which two? What if they only have one? If you think that that doesn't resonate first and foremost with Kyrie Irving on a nightly basis, and then also with the supporting cast, like, that stuff matter. I think it does matter in locker rooms. And you are looking at this and saying, hey, even though we're down to our skeleton crew, we can still take Toronto Raptors fully healthy, basically down to the wire in this one. The only, you know, there's also the piece of it too, and I'm not even saying this negatively, I'm saying it positively. Bruce Brown took a frustration foul where I can't remember who he shoved. He just kind of gave him a little shove. So I think that that instance is the focus that this team still has. The willingness that they want to be out there. Again, 37 minutes for Irving, 36 for Shamet. You mentioned about the bench. You know, Elise Johnson played 5 minutes. If you want to throw in the towel, you could have given him an extra 10. TLC only played 20. So, and the other component to this that I think we can probably get out on is the idea that Steve Nash and this team are still sticking to the game plan, the overall game plan for this roster, in spite of the ups and downs and the ins and outs with injuries. They're still maintaining that same level of focus in and around this team on a game-to-game basis, and I think that'll pay dividends, because what you're going to have at the end of the season is all of these guys will have continued to try to perfect their role regardless of outcome. Shamet, you went 3 of 17, you take the shots that were there for you, more often than not, they're going to fall down. So I think it's also drilling that into these a lot of these guys, role players, of saying, keep working it, keep playing with consistency, it's going to pay off for us in the long run.
Look, I'll say this right now. This current form of the Nets, if the playoffs started right now, this team that played tonight, this team, if, let's say with like full rest, right? This team would take the Knicks in a series, I'm positive. They would take the Hornets in a series, I'm positive. They'd probably take the Wizards, I'm nearly positive on that one. Like that, this is a good team. This team that ran out there tonight without Kevin Durant, without James Harden, this is a good basketball team. Like a good, disciplined, like, this is just a good team. We're only using it in comparison to the elite championship level team we've been seeing all season, right? But this is still, like, maybe I'm overstating a little bit, but not much. Like, this is still a very good team. They would just run into, once you hit that next level of teams is where they would obviously run into problems. All right, thanks for everyone hanging out into locker room. We're going to jump into there. Well, we've been in a locker room, but we're going to jump in and bring people forward if you want to talk. All those that didn't get there, gotta listen in when we're going into locker room doing these shows. It's a lot of fun. We'll be doing one once a week. In the meantime, if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you rate and review wherever you listen. Rate and review. 5 stars or bust. Maybe type in a few nice words. It helps us climb the podcast charts. Always much appreciated. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, what's your favorite hobby? Magnets. Charlie Day.
Oh, twice in 1 week. One of the great American poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.